And tomorrow's a very special day. It's going to be her 27th birthday.
Yes. Woo!
So make sure you give her a happy birthday high five. So we got a couple announcements to make. On August 13th, we have our picnic at Kissel Park. Granted, the weather is okay, because last time it was really hot, and I don't like to be outside when it's really hot. On the 15th, which is that Friday after the picnic, we're going to have a movie night at the coolest house in the Yakima Valley, which is my house. So we're all just going to we're going to put a movie up on the garage, hang a sheet, and if you could bring your lawn chair or a blanket or whatever it is that you want to sit on, you can sit on the grass. I even got some dirt if you want, you can sit on. We're just going to show a movie. It's going to be a family-friendly movie. So it's going to be, you know, for the kids and just everybody to enjoy. Bring a snack if you'd like. We're going to have a good time that night. And then on Sunday morning, August 17th, which is 2 days after that, Pastor George Watkins is going to be in the house. And Pastor George is, he is just an amazing man of God. He's ministered here before. He ministered to us in interns, and he flows in the supernatural, and that's where I want to flow. And so I'm excited to hear what he has to bring to us. And then Vacation Bible School is starting the day after that. So on August 18th through the 20th, we're going to do Vacation Bible School in the evenings, right? It'll be in the evenings. And so if you signed up, get ready for that. At 6:30, we're going to start that on August 18th. And then in 2 months come our Transforms. So that's always an exciting time, and the Lord really moves in those Transforms, and we are excited to do those. You know, this has kind of been a tough week for us as a family, just as a body. But how many of you know that Jesus is faithful?
Yes, he is.
And we can come to him to be restored, and we can come to him to be comforted, and we can come to him just for a refreshing. And as we lift up our voices today, and as we enter into his presence, I just encourage you to say, God, what happened to me this week, what happened to me yesterday, Father God, it doesn't matter, because right now you are all that matters, Father God. God, I just long to be in your presence, Father God. I just long to be with you, Jesus. I just long to sit at your feet, Father God. God, the things of this world are temporal, Father God, but you are eternal, Father God. And we worship you today, Jesus. We thank you for what you're doing, Father God, in our hearts, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing in this church, Father God. We thank you for what you're doing, Father God. God, to draw us closer to you, Father God. Lord, I just pray right now that the fire of heaven will fall in this place, Father God. God, I pray that you will just incinerate us with your fire, Father God. I pray that today isn't going to be just a normal Sunday, Father God, that today isn't going to be another day where we walk out the door and say, oh, it was good, Father God. But no, we're going to walk out of the door today, Father God, and we are going to be changed eternally, Father God, because we met with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, Father God. Jesus, I just pray, Father God, that you will just dwell in this service, Father God. God, I just pray for the worship team, that you will anoint them, Father God. God, I pray that their lips, Father God, will be your lips, Father God, that the music will come straight from heaven, Father God. Lord, we just thank you for today in your name. Amen.
Love came down.
Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul. I am yours, I am forever yours.
Sing that again.
Love came down and rescued me. Set me free. I am yours. I am forever yours. mountain high or valley low, I sing out, remind my soul, I am yours, I am forever yours. If my heart is filled with hope and I cannot hear your voice, I hold on to what is true, though I cannot see. If the storms of life they come and the road ahead gets steep, I will lift these hands in faith, I will believe. I remind myself of all that you've done and the life I have because of your Son. Jesus, love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours, forever. Mountain high or valley low, that I am yours, I am forever yours. Love came down and rescued me. Love came down and set me free. I am yours, I am forever yours. Mountain high or valley, sing out, remind my soul that I am yours, I am forever yours, I am yours, I am yours, all my days, Jesus, I am yours, I am yours. I am yours.
Take any time during worship. It is a time of intimacy. It's a time of us receiving that revelation, but also a manifestation of that common union that we have with God, that He chose to take life inside of us. He chose to inhabit us. He chose to make us one with Him. And so when you come up, just take the cup either individually, or you can come up as a family. But I encourage you to take communion. If I was to tell you that Jesus left something for you, and you could have it, and you would receive something from Him when you took this, most everyone would take it. And yet a lot of times we don't realize the power of communion, that life is in it, that restoration is in it, transformation is in it. So, Father, we thank You, Lord, for Your Son. We thank You, Jesus, for Your sacrifice and laying down Your life. We thank You, Lord, that in Your blood there's life, that the life is in the blood. Lord, that Your body represents us having full communion with the Father in the Holy of Holies. That the veil has been torn, Lord, which was Your flesh. Represents transformation, God, that brings us to a place of transformation, transfiguration, God, where we're not even the same. So we thank You, Lord, for Your sacrifice. And Lord, we remember that sacrifice today. And as we take communion, Lord, I pray that every single thing that You want to accomplish in us, Lord, as we take communion, would be fulfilled in Jesus' name.
God reminded me how He delights in us. And I felt like that was how we were supposed to see ourselves today, worshiping God. See Him delighting in us. So just lift your voice, lift your hands to Him. Whatever that means for you to worship and for Him to delight in you, make yourself available for Him to delight in. So we're going to sing Holy Spirit.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. No thing can compare. Your heart living hope. Your presence. I've tasted
in Your Presence, Lord. Your presence. As the worship team was praying before we started practicing, I got a picture in my mind of a car and a man sitting in the car, and he's happily driving along the road, and he notices that the fuel tank shows full. And as he continues down the road, he has a false sense of security with that tank gauge showing the full mark. And all of a sudden, as he's driving, the car starts to shake and sputter, and all of a sudden, the car dies out. And he gets under the hood, and he's checking to see what could possibly be wrong, because he knows he has a full tank of gas, So he knows it can't be that. So then he had to actually get to a phone and call for help. And then he had to have his car towed. And when he towed it to the mechanic said, "Dude, you ran out of gas." And he's like, "But that's not possible. My tank, it showed full." And as the Lord showed me this picture, I'm reminded of how, as Christians, we see our spiritual tanks as being full. And it's our view, it's our perspective of what that tank is really at. But God's perspective, most times, is you're so empty. You really don't have what you think that you have. And the only way that we're going to know that is by getting closer to Him and letting Him be the one that fills us. So as we're singing, "Come and Fill This Place," it's not talking about this building. This building is not the church. We are. Where we are is the church. It's come and fill this place. Come and fill here. I'm empty here, God. And He, when He hears that true cry of our hearts, He comes and fills us to overflowing. Except overflowing, others can even get from what you're getting. They can put their cup under where you're getting your fullness, and they can even get that fullness for themselves. So as we sing this worship music, if you're empty today, if you've been relying on what a gauge says of where you are in your Christianity, only rely on what God says about you. And if it's not what you should be or how full you should be, cry out to Him, "Fill my cup, God. Fill me up, Lord, to overflowing." And He is so gracious, so compassionate, so willing to do that for His love, for His kid, for His children. He wants to so badly. So as we sing, come on, let's, if you're dry and you know it, if you're hungry and you know it, come and get filled today in this place.
I will dwell in the shelter of the moon.
faithfulness is the shield and my great reward. I will not be afraid. I will trust in the
back to this promise.
No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper, says the Lord. Sickness formed against me will prosper. No sickness formed against me will prosper,
says the Lord.
He has the last word.
No fear, no fear formed against me will prosper. No fear that's formed against me will prosper. No fear that's formed against me will prosper, says the Lord.
I feel like this morning, if you have something coming against you, come declare it this morning.
No fear that's formed against me will prosper.
Come declare it on the mic. Let us agree with you.
No fear that's formed against me will prosper. No fear that's formed against me will prosper, says the Lord. Oh, no weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper. No weapon formed against me will prosper, says the Lord.
No judgment.
No judgment formed against me will prosper. No judgment formed against me will prosper. No judgment formed against me will prosper, says the
Next slide up there, Anita. This song is such a prophetic song. And when it says, I will dwell in the shelter of the Most High God, and I will rest in the beauty of your presence. That is where he wants us. In his shelter and in his presence. Not in anything we create with our own mind or our own hands. We can't look at it with our natural minds. But Father God, I want to dwell in the beauty of your presence, Father God, in the shelter of the Most High. Church, if you feel like everything is against you, maybe you haven't felt the presence of the Lord in quite some time, or you feel like there's just this wall blocking you, I invite you to come and dwell in the shelter of the Most High. And say, God, I just want to be with you, because there's no wall, there's no sickness, there's no weapon that he can't tear down that's been built up against you. There's nothing that he can't break down. There's nothing that he can't demolish, because he is the creator of everything. And whatever it is that the enemy is holding against you, in the name of Jesus, I break that off your life right now. Father God, we just want to be with you, Jesus. As we bring this back up again, I invite you to come and dwell in the shelter of the Most High God.
Faithfulness is a shield and my great reward. I will not.
Go back to, there we go. Oh, we got a sound man entering into the throne room. That's good. I don't do this very often, but I want to go back to Pastor Gay's vision, her impression that she received. Pretty intricate detail. And the Lord keeps reminding me about that, and this may be for one, maybe for many. How many other times in our spiritual gatherings, our time together as a family, that Lord kind of centers in on something? And I believe that that's happening today. I believe that God wants us to be full. He wants us to be full of Him. Now we are. It's a completed work. Christ has made us all full. He's filled us up with God. But the problem is our minds, our lives, things that happen to us, bring a shroud, a covering, a cloud over that. And the reality becomes dim, and it becomes even faded in some ways, and in some places it's been completely erased, even though it's truth. But I want to go back to that gauge that says that it was full. And that was a hardware problem of that automobile. Wasn't the owners of the automobile's fault? He was just doing what it said. And there's a few out there today, maybe many, that have been doing what the Lord said, have been following things right, haven't been off on the beaten track, but something's happened now that you're empty. And you're actually fighting it because you're saying, no, it says it's full. I'm full, Lord. I've done everything that I know to do to stay full. So I'm full, Lord. And he's saying, no, I'm the mechanic, I'm your maker. You're empty, and you're not going any place. You're not going to advance. You're stuck on the side of the road. Or you're going to stay in this shop until you get the reality that you need fuel. And the beauty of it is that we don't have to go anywhere to get fuel. All we do is just say, okay, Lord, I hear you. I'm empty. Now fill me up. I don't believe that false gauge anymore. Repair that for me. And let me truly be sensitive to the Spirit once again and know where my condition is. Know that I'm empty. Know that I'm barely making it. Give us eyes, Lord, to see. Give us revelation, Lord, to understand. Father, we just commit, Lord, this word into your hands. Let every heart, Lord, that's meant to be touched right now, Holy Spirit, draw them to you. Let them release anything, God, that's keeping them back from your blessings, from your fullness. And we just thank you, God, that you are faithful, that you speak to your children, that we're not deaf out here trying to just figure our own way. But you're speaking clearly, and we are your children, and we do hear your voice. We thank you, Lord.
Spirit, break out. Break our walls down. Touching earth, our Father, all of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise, can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching. Spirit, break out and break our walls down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Spirit, break out. Heaven, come down. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name, sing loud. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear? Sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Our Father, all of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? the sound of heaven touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth. Spirit, break out. Break our walls down.
With praise, can you hear it? The sound of
and touching earth. The sound of heaven touching earth, our Father. All of heaven roars your name, sing louder. Let this place erupt with praise. Can you hear it? The sound of heaven touching.
While Glenn plays for a couple of minutes, just real quietly, I just want all of us to just ask Holy Spirit if he has anything he wants to tell us. Maybe he's going to tell you that he loves you. Maybe he's going to tell you something that he'd like to see changed in your life and how he's going to empower you to do it. Maybe he's going to tell you something that you're going to do this week that when you do it in obedience is going to transform someone else's life. But it's really easy for us to talk and sing, but I think it'd be nice to give God an opportunity just to speak to our hearts. So if you would with me, just pray this simple prayer, and then we're going to let the music just play for a couple minutes and let Holy Spirit speak to our hearts. Holy Spirit, we invite you to speak to us. So now just be obedient with what the Lord told you. Maybe some of you just need to believe what he told you. You don't have to do a thing. You just have to receive the reality, the truth that he put in your heart just now. How many heard the Lord speaking in their heart when you're a little quiet right now? Praise God. Praise God. You can do that anytime. You don't have to be at church. You can be in your car. You can be at work. You can be in a busy shopping mall. Just be still and know that he's God and ask him to speak to your heart. He's so faithful. Isn't he? Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. Why don't you greet somebody? Welcome them. The children to come on up. There's still a few people being ministered to, but no rush. Don't worry about that. Important business being done. Awesome. Praise the Lord. Are you guys ready to go down for a great time? All right. Well, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your kids. God, we thank you, Lord, that they're being raised, Lord, in the fear and admonition of the Lord in their homes. But, Father, we pray today that you would just impart more grace and more peace in their life, more truth in their life, God. Lord, that you would allow them to respond, Lord, to the call in their life this day, Lord, that they would be, Lord, world changers, God, that they would change their environment around them, Lord, that they would pray for the sick, Lord, that they would speak the truth, God, to people, and that they would walk in your anointing in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
That works so well, Stephen. Yeah. Instead of carrying it all the time. What's that? Yeah. You can learn from young ones, right? Oh, come on now. Well, I had a way I was going to go today, but when I was, after I'd prepared for a few hours and gotten really the word in my heart, found the truths, and I went, oh, this is going to be great. So then I just took some time and I said, okay, well, I'm going to worship the Lord now. And I started singing this song. And I said, well, that's like my message last week. And so, you know, I said, okay, well, let me see if I can sing something about. No, I just kept singing this song that the Lord gave me. And then we came into service today, and the whole pretty much worship service was about his presence. So I said, okay, Lord, I can take a hint. Sometimes I can't take a hint. So last week I shared on being face to face. And it was interesting because, again, I had, as I thought, planned a different message. I was going to focus on a different aspect of it. And I don't remember exactly. What did you title the sermon last week, Jesse? Face to face or something? Yeah. Well, on my notes, it was called Joyful Presence. And I didn't talk about anything like that this last week. So that's what I was singing this morning. I was just saying, Lord, in your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. I won't sing it for you because I don't have the chords going off in my head. But I've been struggling with that reality in my life. Because fullness of joy, again, doesn't sound like we're on empty, does it? It doesn't sound like we're being falsely, you know, administered a signal that says we're full of joy, but we're not. Fullness of joy, I think it's overflowing. I think people are going to know it when we're full of joy. And so, again, like I was saying last week, you know, we have great fathers of the faith. We have individuals who have been gifted with, by seeking him, face-to-face encounters with God. Intimacy, being in his presence. And there's a story in the Bible, an account, and it's when Moses is up on the mountain. And you know, how many have heard you can't see God and live? If you see God, you'll die, right? See God, you'll die. Well, I don't have the verse, and this wasn't the scripture I was going to use, but maybe I did put it in last week. Let me see. I sometimes surprise myself. Hang on just a second. How many know that silence is not a bad thing? It's golden. There we go. So many of us think that we always have to hear something or have something moving going on. Okay, I'm going to ask Jesse to go look this up for me because he's got time right now. Or is he involved with something? You can? Can you look up the 70 elders when they go up with Moses on the mountain? So, anyway, there are 70 elders from different tribes are represented as the chiefs, and they are invited up on a mountain, the mountain, Mount Sinai, with Moses and with Joshua, but also with God. And so they end up in God's presence, and they have dinner with him. I don't know what kind of dinner that was. Obviously, God prepared it. But they see God face to face. Now, this isn't, you know, Moses, the main leader, and Joshua, the next leader. These are 70 elders, and they see God face to face. So being face to face with God is something that I believe we can experience as Christians. But for the longest time, what we have thought is that it is something that we will experience after we die. A face-to-face, that we'll experience his transforming presence when we die. It, you know, when we see him, we'll be like him. And we have this impression that it is for after life here. But I'm here to tell you that Jesus said, come to me. He said, come to me. How many know that means to come to him? And I always thought, well, that just means to come to him in salvation. Anybody else? That means, you know, to give your heart to him and come to him, which I did. I did that at 19. I came to him. But I believe there was more to it, that there is a transformation, there is a joy, there is a fullness, there is something that is meant to happen to us when we pursue him face to face. I think in Jeremiah 29, I think it's in 13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. You will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now think about that. You will seek him when you search for him with all your heart. And you will find him when you search for him with all your heart. So the searching sounds like is the preface for seeking. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. So what is it that is going to cause us to be searchers? You know, there's tons of people out there who don't know God, and they are seekers, and they're seeking the truth. They're hungry. You know, they go to weekend conferences, and they listen to in some ways, I don't want to be just totally disrespectful, but wackos. They're talking about fruity stuff. I mean, they're talking about, you know, things that are of the demonic realm, but they're seeking. They're hungry. They're searching. And so many of us come as Christians full. We come, we're satisfied. I'm, you know, Pastor, that's a good message, but, you know, I've read my word this week. Or that's a great worship service, and I understand the appeal, but I'm full. And we don't even realize that we're naked and wretched. That we're suffering. That our hearts are in a fragmented state, and that we're in a place of anguish and torment, and we don't even know it. Because in his presence is fullness of joy. Now, life does things to us, doesn't it, guys? Things happen that we can't control. I was telling someone this week that I remember when my son Aaron died. He was 14 years old, and I was in a hotel room. And, I mean, I just let out this wail of anguish and sorrow. And, I mean, I didn't see it coming. I was not expecting that morning. But God is faithful. His grace is sufficient for us. His grace empowered me to walk through that. Now, can I say that at that exact time in my life, I was full of joy? No, I can't. And frankly, I struggle with that, being full of joy. A lot of times during my day, life causes my reactions to be an emotional roller coaster. I'm just being honest, guys. Listen, we won't go anywhere until we're truly transparent and honest. Pastor Mike does not have it all together. Things happen. People say things to me. I say things to people. And it creates an emotional roller coaster. Why? Because I'm not dwelling in his presence. Somebody said, well, Pastor Mike, that's awful lofty to be saying you're going to dwell in his presence 24/7. Is it? Is it? Is it lofty? I think, on the contrary, it's absurd to say that we shouldn't be dwelling in his presence 24/7. Because Jesus was the example, and he constantly was seeing the face of the Father. He was constantly interacting with the Father. He was constantly seeing what the Father was doing. And I believe Jesus was full of joy. I believe his joy was so contagious that when he went into a room, that he didn't have to preach. He emitted the joy and love of God. And he communicated the heart of the Father. See, when you're miserable, it's hard to talk about joy. When your life's in the toilet, it's hard to tell other people about the shiny brass, you know, ornate things all around. You're thinking about the toilet that you're in. Numbers 11:16. Thank you, Jesse. Let's just turn to that for a second. Numbers 11:16. Oh, I was just one chapter off. Holy cow, I was close. Just so you guys know that I'm not, you know, telling a yarn or a fib or a lie. So the Lord said to Moses, gather to me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be the elders of the people and officers over them. Bring them to the tabernacle of meeting, that they may stand there with you. Oh, that's not the one, Jesse. Nice. Is it?
You know where they have dinner with them?
Yeah, where they have dinner. Is this it?
That's not the same one, is it?
No, this is the one where, yeah. This is another 70, but yeah. Did you just look it up?
Yep.
Or I thought you just knew it off. We've got our new concordance here, Glenn Bodine. All right, we're good.
Google.com.
What was it, Genesis 24? Exodus. Yeah, Genesis 24 wouldn't have been it, yeah. Well, something similar happened that time, yeah. That was when actually Moses was imparting through the Lord his leadership on those 70. And I don't know if it's the same 70. Okay, let's try again. Then Moses went up on the mountain, went up also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel. And they saw the God of Israel. What's saw mean? When you see something, what does it mean? They saw the God of Israel, and there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone, and it was like the very heavens in its clarity. That's 70 of the elders of Israel. Now, some of you may say, well, I'm not an elder of Israel. No, you're a child of God. You're a son of God. You've been born not of an incorruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed. You've been born not of the flesh or blood. You've been born of God. His seed is inside of you. You are now one with him in the spirit. It says that we're one with God in the spirit, right? So if all that's happening, then should we not see him face to face? Should we not experience this intimacy and oneness? The only reason that we don't is because we don't believe we can't, and so we don't pursue it. The only reason that we don't see God face to face is because we don't believe we can. Is that, yeah, there we go. I've got people correcting. Listen, on the audio, don't believe you can, and so we don't. See, if we believe that we could, we'd be all over it. If we really believe that we could see God face to face, then we wouldn't be satisfied until we did. If we really believe that true intimacy, one with the Father, not just in a ethereal way that we're one with him and we believe that and we have the knowledge of it, but we experience it, then we would go after it. So when it says this in, let's go back to Psalm 16, where all of this started last week, and I read it, but I didn't even focus on it. 16:11, you will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. In your presence is fullness of joy. Just let that sink in for a minute. So, if we are not full of joy, what are we lacking? Makes sense, doesn't it? Some would say, well, it's not just his presence. I mean, you know, it's the circumstances of life. It's all those things. Those are excuses. Those are reasons. Those are symptoms of not being in his presence. See, Paul was shipwrecked. Paul was, you know, without food. Paul was without money. Paul was sometimes without friends. But in everything, I would say he was full of joy. He was content. He was satisfied. He was satiated. It wasn't because of his circumstances. It was because of the presence. See, until we realize that we truly will not exist as the children of God, as Christians, without his presence, then we will be satisfied in our status quo. We will be satisfied where we're at right now. We'll be satisfied 20 years from now if we don't understand that without his presence, as Moses said, I'm not going. Without your presence, God, we're not going anywhere. That's how important it was to him. Because God said, well, just go ahead and go. I'm kind of tired with this whole thing. He said, no, God, if you're not going, we're not going. And yet we go all the time through life without his presence. Now, we have it in us. Spirit, break out. Break the walls down. What walls? Is it walls of demons that are trying to keep us from God's presence? No, the walls of our mind, folks. The walls that separate us from who we are and who he is and what we have already received in Christ. Can we be any more in Christ than we are right now? I want to know. Is there anybody can tell me a way that I can be more in Christ than I am right now? How about this? Is there any other way that I can make God love me any more than he loves me right now? Is there any father that would deny a son coming into his presence to hear his heart? And we're evil. Come on, guys. This has got to become real. This has got to be a reality to us. This can no longer be something that we do. This has got to be our very essence of life. This has got to be where we are at all the time. Not just on Sundays, not just at Bible studies, not just when we read the word, not just when we're praying, but we exist in him. We exist in his presence. We minister. We live. We interact with our family in his presence 24/7. And if you think that's impossible, then you have to say, then what was Jesus doing? Was Jesus here as God and everything he did was empowered as God? No, Satan tried to get him to work out of his godhood. And Jesus says, no, no, the Father's will. Bread alone, I don't need. I need the word. I can't exist on just that rock. Even if I turn it into a stone, and you're not going to make me step out of being all God and all man, Satan. I'm yielding as a man here. And everything that he did was the empowerment by the Holy Spirit, everything you and I have, and being in the presence of the Father. For the longest time, I thought that Jesus was separated from God completely and that the only time he caught him was when he was praying. But remember, if you go back to John... chapter 3, and I think it's around verse 10. Jesus answered and said to him, this is Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? He didn't even understand being born again. Some would say, well, how could he have understood being born again? Jesus hadn't even gone to the cross, because being born again, the principle of it was all through the Old Testament. That God wanted children. He wanted Israel to be his kids. They refused him. I don't have the verses right now, but basically he said, I want you to be my children. And they said, no, we want a king. That's what we want. We want a king like all the other nations. They would not accept him as their father. But listen, Jesus says here to Nicodemus, are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak that we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I had told you earthly things, you did not believe. How will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven, but he who came down from heaven, that is the Son of Man who is in heaven. When? Right then, when he's talking to him. Jesus is our example. He connected with heaven in a way that he was before the Father all the time. See, the thing is that we have made Christianity about what we know and what we can do, about what we can understand, about what we can grasp, about what we can hold, about what we can make mold it into something that we can understand. But folks, we're spirit. He just told them what being of the Spirit's like up here. He said this. Oops, hang on. Got a little carried away there. Hold on. He said this to him. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Now I want to ask you, how many of you live like the wind? Hey, come on, that's what it says, that we are going to be like the wind. Where does the wind get its orders? From heaven. Well, some would say, well, the wind happens when the sun does certain things to the earth, and there's, you know, there's certain different turbulence are created because of, but who does all that? Who created us? Who created anything we're sitting here on or anything that we use? You could say, well, someone manufactured my car. But who made the metal? Well, the people who molded it. No. Don't look at the things that are seen. See, we are so caught up in everything that we see, everything that we know, everything that we can grasp with our own natural mind becomes our focal point, that when it says full, we believe it says full, even if it's not, because it says full. Do you see what's going on here today? The Spirit's trying to tell us not everything you see is true. Not everything that appears gold is gold, even if it's shiny. And then, what's the outcome? That car that couldn't go anywhere, you can push it if you want to. If that's the way, if you think it's not, and you're not going to fill it with gas, you can push it down the road. And some of us are pushing our Christian life down the road, and it's a heavy job. I mean, man, we are just about at the end of ourselves because how much longer do I have to do this? Well, you don't have to do that. But many of us continue to do that because we think it depends on what we see. Well, let's just say if it depends on what we see, then what in the natural do we see? Do we see the fullness of joy in us? Be honest. How many of you are so full of joy that it's bubbling over? Because that fullness of joy means that it's bubbling over. Some may say, well, Pastor Mike, you can't have somebody like that because they're just going to be giddy all the time. You're not going to make sense of them. You're not going to be. Listen, joy does not mean that they're just always just laughing. Joy means a sustenance, a fullness in them that is God. How many believe that God is joyful? A few of us. I think he is the most joyful one in all of creation. In all of existence, he is the most joyful one. That's why when you come into his presence, there's joy. Well, Pastor Mike, what if he's telling you to correct something or do something like that? Listen, you respond in obedience, your heart will be full of joy. You give him your junk, and you say, Lord, forgive me for holding on to stuff, and you get rid of it, guess what? He'll replace that with joy. You think your treasures were so neat? He's going like, really? You think that's good? Yeah. Son, you got no clue. See, until we come to the place that we say, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm there. As your pastor, I don't know what I'm doing anymore because he is sitting here and going, there's more. There's more, son. There's more. I say, but what about all this over here?
says, that's nice, but there's so much more than just that. There's me. Wait a minute, there's you? But I have you. I've read your word. I've read about you. I've experienced you. I've shared you with others. I mean, I've sang about you. I've worshiped you. I've done all those things. Yes, son. Well, what about me? Do you know me? Do you know how my heart beats? Do you know what my voice sounds like when it literally thunders? So there's a drawing that Holy Spirit's doing. I have no control over it. Holy Spirit has been commissioned to go and round up the kids. It's like a sound is blasted out of heaven. And the Holy Spirit has been commissioned to go and draw us. That was his job when we were a sinner, you know, convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. Now all he's doing is saying, hey, kids, Dad wants to talk to you. Well, you're thinking, then that's where I'm, how can Dad talk to all of us at one time? That's because you're limited to your time and space. You're limited to your world. He's not. He's not limited to your time or your space or your world. There's no limitations on God. So we can all be drawn by Holy Spirit to an intimacy with him. An intimacy. Into me, you see. Into you, I see. You think about the ones who stood face to face before God. You know, we read last week how Moses was a friend. He told the children of Israel, you know, I talk to my other prophets and stuff and mysteries and kind of like darkness, but I speak to Moses face to face as a friend. And you think about Moses. It says that when he was at the end of his life, which was in the hundreds, that his eyes were still crystal clear. He could see. It says he was basically as strong. He could have easily went in and probably fought some giants. But he didn't get to go into the promised land. But he had been transformed to the place that when he would come off the mountain, he was glowing with God's glory, with the emanating who God was. Do you think it'd be easy to share Christ with the world if we were emanating who God was? Someone's saying, like, well, Pastor Mike, that's like kind of like out there. Yeah, God's out there. I mean, he is surrounded by these creations, creatures that are like, I don't know. They're glowing, they're majestic, they're fierce to look at, and he's all surrounded by him. He's surrounded by elders casting their crowns. He's got angels flying around him, seraphim saying, holy, holy, holy. I mean, in God's presence is awesomeness. Awe and wonder. And guess what? We're invited there. See, many of us think that we don't deserve to go into God's presence. We just don't. Because of what we've done, because of who we've done it with, because of who we've done it to, because what we've spoken, all these things that have basically been our own actions. And we forget that the blood of Christ, who we are relying on, cleanses us from all of that. That doesn't exist anymore. You know, this morning we took communion. Some of us, most of us did, because there's a lot gone, praise the Lord. They had to refill it too? Oh, nice. Praise the Lord. That's really good. So here we go. This is Jesus' body. Now, I know some of you are saying, no, Pastor Mike, that's bread. Well, to you, it's bread. To me, it's Jesus' body. And Jesus' body was shredded, torn, mutilated, pierced, and then pierced through in his side
so that when it was broken, the veil, not just on earth, in heaven was open wide. And as we crush that in our mouth, we remember that a veil is no longer powered over us to where we can't access the Father, that we can't meet with Him face to face. For the joy that was set before Him, He despised the shame and embraced it. What was that joy? Yes, you and I, being His bride, but also knowing that we would have once again access to the Father, that His children would be drawn home. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy, overflowing joy. Now, I wish I could tell you, I wish I could give you this message and say, guess what, guys? I have been in His presence and I am full of joy. And I can't, not yet. But something's happening in me that's making me become a searcher. A searcher that then will start to seek. And what do you do when you seek? You go anywhere you have to. You do whatever you need to do. And I will find Him. And He'll be saying, hey, hi. Been waiting for you. That doesn't mean I don't feel God's presence. I'm not talking about Holy Spirit's abiding presence, folks. Because some of you are saying, well, but what about Holy Spirit's presence? That's the presence of God. Absolutely, it is. But it's not face-to-face, folks. And let's not deceive ourselves. And some may say, well, Pastor Mike, you're putting something out there that I maybe never attain. That's true. But isn't it worth the journey to see our Maker and Creator face to face? To be transformed? I mean, it's possible that someone around here it's going to happen to, and I will rejoice. I can't say that I'll be going like, oh, I wish it was me, but I will rejoice because we are a body, we are a family, and I will rejoice for you. But I believe when you come back to me, you're going to look different. You're going to talk different. You're going to see this natural realm differently. Because I believe once you go there, you're never the same. The Word of God will transform us. We must be metamorphosized by the renewing of our mind. But there's nothing like, I believe, being face to face with Him. And as I said last week, it may take some of us wrestling Him. It will. It may take some of us literally being wrestled to the ground by Him. See, because it's interesting. Was that wrestling match instigated by Jacob, or was it instigated by God? A little clue there. Some of you may be experiencing some wrestling right now. Oh, man, I don't know if I can go there. Well, the thing is, if He's asking you to come, which I believe He is, by Holy Spirit, the cries going out across the earth, then He will give you the grace to go. He will give you the grace to go there and experience what we're meant to experience. And you know what? I could even say this. Let's not neglect such a great salvation, because that is part of salvation. Salvation is not just about getting our sins off our back. It's about truly becoming sons and daughters of God. It's about truly walking this earth as His children, with His love in our hearts, with His character
emanating from us, where we don't cause the kingdom of God disdain because of our actions. And some of us have tried to do that our whole life by memorizing enough Bible, by trying to put our will over our emotions and our anger and our resentment, and we try to check it that way, but it's not going to be done that way. It will fail. We can only do that so long. But if we're transformed, and some of us, even the twinkling of an eye, it'll be like that. A change can take place that we're never the same. I think that's worth seeking. So some of you maybe just need to say, Lord, make me a searcher so that I'll start seeking you. Make me a searcher so that I'll just even start questioning who I am right now, that I won't be always gazing at that full gauge and not even realizing that I'm empty. Or that I won't keep pushing this vehicle around, this heavy 2-ton car of what I consider Christianity to be, when it's my yoke is easy, my burden is light. I mean, right there, if you just take those words of Jesus, how many really feel that? I can't tell you how many people I talk to, boy, this Christian life is so hard. It's such a struggle. I mean, oh, I'm just trying to make it. I've said some of the same things before, folks. I'm not mocking anybody. I'm just communicating some of the things out of my own mouth. And where's the easy yoke? Where's the light burden? Where's the fullness of joy? It's because of the lack of his presence. I think some of us are going to have to, including myself, learn to lighten up. We take our Christianity way too serious. But we don't take our intimacy with God serious at all. We take our godly devotions very, very serious. But we don't take looking into God's eyes serious at all. We are like the wind. And he's supposed to breathe his breath on us that moves us around. I think we need to be in his presence to be able to respond to his breath. Would you stand with me? Father, I thank you, Lord, for your drawing. And you, Holy Spirit, drawing us to the Father. And Lord, I don't know what it all means. I don't understand it all. I just know that what you're doing. I know that this is a different day that we're living in, that some of us never even expected to make it to 2014, yet here we are. And Lord, I just ask that you would just do what you need to do inside of us. Lord, that you would help us to become so willing of vessels that we can't exist, Lord, literally, we can't exist without your presence. Lord, that if we don't have your presence, we won't go. We won't move. Lord, I just pray that there would just be a hunger that would develop in us as we sang about today. A hunger for your presence. Like we said, we want more of your presence. Not just more of your presence corporately, not just more of your presence in us feeling the Holy Ghost goosebumps, but Lord, more of your literal reality presence to see you face to face. So that we can carry that easy yoke, that light burden. So that we can be ones that literally emanate the very kingdom of God, the very nature of God, the love of God. Forgive me, Lord, for so long letting your presence be a secondary item in my Christianity. Forgive me, Lord, for not searching you with all my heart, for seeking after you with all my heart. I just submit and I yield my will and my ways to you, Lord. Show me the ways of life, as that psalm says. Show me your ways, Lord, that lead to you. Show me, Lord, the path that will direct me right to your face. Show me, Lord, that leads me to your heart. In your presence is fullness of joy. In your presence is fullness of joy. I want to hear you, Lord. I want to see you, Father. I want to experience you. Not so I can prove that you exist, but so I can be like you. Give us the desires of our heart, Lord, that are so hungry for you. We can't be anywhere else than in your presence. That we literally walk 24/7 in your presence. That we abide and rest next to you in Christ. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Yes. Okay.
If we could hold on for just a second. Alvin was in a pretty serious accident, and she's in quite a bit of pain, so we believe that the Lord can heal her and eradicate that pain in a matter of just moments. So Alvin, if you want to come up, if you don't mind, and Rick, if you want to come up with your wife. We want to thank you, everybody. If you need to go, you are released. If you want to stay and pray, you're more than welcome to. Have a great week, all right?